Welcome to The Watchman, your weekly 60-minute expose on Bible prophecy and everything you need to know about the times we live, for the coming of the Lord is sooner than you think.
Good evening and welcome to The Watchman on this 30th day of March 2016, as we continue with our study of the Word of God, really, and so many other things that we are talking about. And I'd all previously thought maybe I would talk a bit about the things happening in the world, but then I think I'm led to talk something totally different today, but something which I believe so many people out there need. So today I'm talking, basing my teaching on Proverbs chapter 4 verse 23, which says, "Guard your heart with all diligence, because out of it flow all the issues of life." Now, we are going to be delving in that scripture quite a bit. Guard your heart with all diligence, because out of it flow all the issues of life. So that begs the question, what is the heart? What is that part of the body, or the person rather, that the Bible calls the heart? Now, for long, I used to think that the heart was actually the spirit, and I used to use them interchangeably. Heart and spirit, I used to use them interchangeably. And I think so many great teachers actually thought that was true, so they thought the heart is the spirit. But now let's talk about the three persons, the three different, what would I call them, persons within a person. There is the spirit of a man, then there is the soul of a man, then there is the body of a man. The body everybody is familiar with. Now the soul of a person is their mind, their will, their emotions, their intellect and things like that. The mind, of course, you are very familiar with, the one which you use to solve things. Now the will is where you decide what you want, I will not do this, I will do this, I want this kind of thing, I want, you know. Emotions you are very familiar with, intellect you're very familiar with, you did that throughout your school. So that's the soul. Now the spirit you kind of maybe are familiar with, but the spirit of a person is that part of them that is perfect when that person is born again. Now, when somebody is not born again, their spirit is inactive, almost dead. And all that they are dealing with is their mind, or rather their soul and their body. So now, a lot of the scientific world and all those things are in denial of the spirit. So all they want to deal with is the mind, or rather the soul and the body. The soul, remember, is mind, will, emotions, you know, things like mindset, intellect and all. That's all they want to deal with, the soul and the body. And that's all they acknowledge. They don't acknowledge the spirit. Now, for us, when we get born again, we know that there is a spirit. The Bible clearly says that we have a spirit. And it is our spirits where the Lord resides, where the Holy Spirit resides and makes us. Now, when the Holy Spirit comes and flashes light, Proverbs 20:27 says, "The spirit of a man is a candle of the Lord." Now, when the Holy Spirit comes and flashes his light within our spirits, then now it is up to us to make sure that our spirits gain dominance over our souls and our body. Now, before you got born again, your soul and your body were in tandem. If your body told you are hungry, your mind tells you that here is how you can get some food, and then you get food because your mind has to work for your body. And so at the heart of it all is your mind and your body, or rather your soul and your body. So if you got a certain emotion, let's say of fear, everything reacted to fear because that is all you knew, you from your soul and your body. So if your body told you that you need to have sex, then your mind will start creating ways in which you are going to go and find somebody to have sex with, because that was who you were before you got saved. Now, if your mind sees a beautiful woman, your body agrees, then your mind and your body works together. That was before you got saved. Now, when you get saved, another part of you comes called the spirit. And the spirit comes with his own ideas, which are totally different from what you are accustomed to. Now, when you might be hungry, and your body is saying you're hungry, your mind is saying you're hungry, but your spirit says, "Today you said you're going to fast." So now it is up to you to listen to your spirit and say, no, body, shut up. I know you're crying for food, but I'm not going to give you food until this fast is over. Then you tell your mind, shut up, I'm reading the word of God, and I'm not going to focus on how hungry I am. Because the mind wants to tend towards siding with the body, because they both want food. Yet your spirit is standing and saying, no, you said you wanted to fast today, so fast. Now, then another time, your body tells you something else. Let's say you see this beautiful girl, your body says, "Wow, how beautiful she is." And your spirit says, no, you're born again. That is not how you're supposed to behave. Now, you have to let your spirit dominate. Somebody in whom the spirit, his spirit dominates, is what they call a spiritual believer. In other words, they will do things in domination of the spirit. So their spirit dominates their soul and their body. Then they are called spiritual. Now the other believers who are believers and they have the Holy Spirit in them, but because they have not developed their spirit, or because they have they still live, you know, being controlled by the soul and the body, then their actions don't necessarily differ from people who are not born again. Because even if they have a spirit which has the Holy Spirit, their spirit has kind of been silenced. So when the body says something, if the body says he's hungry, he has to eat. Okay, he cannot fast, he cannot do. And I'm just giving examples. So now that is spirit, soul, and body. Now the body, you know, the soul, you now know. Soul consists of mind, will, emotions, intellect, and things like those. And the spirit is where you are born again, and where the Holy Spirit comes and lights can. Now, initially I used to think the heart was the spirit. We are talking about the heart today, not any of those three. I used to think the heart was the spirit, and I used to use those words interchangeably. Then I discovered that it actually isn't the spirit. What is the heart then? The heart is the deepermost part of the spirit. The part of the spirit, I'll say that again. The heart is the deepermost part of the soul. Of the soul. Not of the spirit. The heart is the deepermost part of the soul that describes what somebody is. Okay? So it defines what you like, what you don't like. And so when somebody describes who you are as the person you are, okay, he's in actual sense describing your heart. So if you say somebody has a bad heart, then you get to know what I mean. The heart is that, you're actually using that word very rightly. When you say somebody has a bad heart, or if you say it in, you know, let's say in Uganda, you know, Mutima Movie. That does not necessarily mean that he does bad things. It only means that even if he does good things, they are not good, they are bad. You understand? Now when you read the scriptures in Luke chapter 6 and verse 43, I'm just going to read a bit from the book of Luke and chapter 6. It says something about the tree, and if the tree is good, everything that is in it is good. Okay, let's read it there for Luke chapter 6 and verse 43 to 45. Here is what it says. For a good tree does not bear bad fruit, nor does a bad tree bear good fruit. For every tree is known by its own fruit. For men do not gather figs from thorns, nor do they gather grapes from bramble bush. Then it says, a good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good, and an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart brings forth evil. For out of the abundance of the heart his mouth speaks. So Jesus here is comparing the heart of a person to a tree, and says that if the tree is a mango tree, then it can only produce mangoes. Then he says if a heart is bad, then the person can only produce bad. Even if they appear to do good, it is bad. Then on the other side, if somebody has another kind of tree which is good, then he can only produce good fruit, even if it might not appear to be that good, but in actual sense it's good because the tree is good. Now that's what he says, that for a good tree does not bear bad fruit, nor does a bad tree bear good fruit. For every tree is known by its fruit. For men do not gather figs from thorns, nor do they gather grapes from bramble bush. Now figs, of course, are good fruit, and thorns are not so good fruit. Then he says, nor do they gather grapes, which is good fruit, from bramble bush, which is bad. Now, so he's talking about figs and grapes, then talking about this fruit and the other fruit. Now, I want you to understand something here. Then he says, a good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good, and an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart brings forth evil. For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Now, have you ever seen people who would appear to be saying things which are careless? Somebody would go and say something careless, and somehow people don't get angry. Even if he says something careless, people don't get angry, because somehow they know he has a good heart and he's not saying it in a bad spirit. Now somebody can say something which sounds good and it annoys everybody, because they are seeing beyond what he's saying. They are seeing the heart from which it comes. In other words, he's trying to bring forth good fruit, but it's coming from a bad tree. So people see that it's bad fruit. Now, that's how powerful the heart is. Now, Jesus said, when he was talking about what goes into a person does not defile a person. In other words, the food the person eats, and when they were talking about what kind of foods people should eat and what. He says, no. It is what comes out. That's in Matthew chapter 15 and verse 16 to 20. He says, it's what comes out of a person that defiles them. That comes out of their heart that defiles them. Because from the heart comes adulteries, fornication, you know, all these things, depth of lies and all those other things. They come from the heart. Now, when the heart is good, what comes out of it is good. Now, I want us to understand here that the heart is the place which is much deeper than the mind. Now, how does the heart differ from the mind? Here is how. So many things go through your mind in a day. Some of them are not so good. For instance, somebody would say, oh man, that guy is so fake. I would wish he dies. And the fact that he said it means that he thought about it. But that does not necessarily mean that he actually believes that. Because if you ask him tomorrow, do you wish the guy dies? No, of course I don't wish he died. But you said it yesterday. I was just saying. In other words, a thought went through his mind, but it did not go through. It did not come from his heart. So it does not define who he is. So he is not, you know, or if you'd say, man, if by the way, given a chance, I would shoot that man. And you don't mean it, but of course the thought went through your mind, you don't mean it. Given the chance, you would not shoot anybody because you're not that kind of person. But you just thought about it and went through you. And sometimes even those thoughts which are inside you are not necessarily yours. Because, remember, the mind is the workshop of the devil. Now, sometimes the devil will come and whisper something to you. Have you ever seen people who are, you're trying to preach to them the gospel, and then he says, I will never be saved. I will never be saved. And he thinks he's the one saying it, but there is a chidemon on him saying in his mind, I will never be saved. And you see, the devil, when he's trying to convince somebody, he talks as if it is you saying, you know, so you will not come and say, for instance, if he wants to spoil your marriage, he will not come and say, you hate your wife. You hate her. No, he will not say that. He will say, I hate my wife. Now, if you listen to him, and that thought, suddenly the thought appears into your mind, I hate my wife. Then the next thing you know, if you speak it out, then now you've made it concrete, you've concretized it. And it was not you even thinking that, it was just the devil putting that into your mind. So you'll come and say, man, I hate my job. And that's the demon telling you, because he wants to confuse you. Maybe that's a job which you're supposed to be having. Then he comes and says, I hate my job. And he can say that all through the day and the night and day and night, until it starts becoming a dominant thought in you. And then the next thing you know, I hate my job. Then you say it yourself, and then now suddenly it has become real. For instance, somebody will come and say, I'm so tired of life, man. I could just commit suicide. Then the next thing he's talking other things, then he's happy. Of course he didn't mean what he said, so that went through the mind. Now the difference between him and those who actually go and commit suicide is the thought comes, then they think on it, then they think on it, then they think on it, then they meditate on it. Then he starts thinking about suicide. The next thing is actually Googling to find out the easiest way to commit suicide. That's what happens for some people. The next thing you know, the guy killed himself. Now for him, the difference between the other guy who just said it and went on and even forgot that he said it, is it was a thought through his mind. Now the difference is this guy meditated on it and it went from the mind to the heart. Now the minute something goes from your mind to your heart, then it becomes who you are and it defines what you do. In other words, it defines the fruit that comes out of you. The fruit here is the heart. Jesus said that elsewhere. The fruit is the heart. It actually says it right here. Not the fruit. The tree is the heart. Okay? So, but he actually goes on to say elsewhere that you can change your tree and change your heart and make sure everything that comes out of you is good. Now, I remember when we were in primary school, and teachers would beat you for making mistakes and what. Now, there are certain teachers, who would beat you and you don't feel even bad, you still like the guy and stuff like that, because you'd somehow know this guy was just punishing me, but he doesn't have any ill will towards me. Now that you see he has a good heart, and he's just punishing you because he thinks it's the best way of, you know, getting something good out of you. And after he's through his punishing you, you don't feel any ill will towards him. You actually might even like him because you know that this guy is not doing it out of malice. Now, by contrast, there were those teachers who, for him, he beats you and you can really see the bad heart. He's enjoying the act of inflicting pain on you. And then you even end up, like, you know, disliking those teachers and things like that. Now, what they are doing is the same thing. They are both beating you. This one is beating, the other one is beating you. But because this beating is coming out of a good heart, it does not produce the ill will that the other one does. The other one is a bad tree and it produces bad fruit. Remember, it's not about what he's doing. Both of them are doing the same thing. But somehow, so you have the ability to see through somebody's heart. And people have this ability. I'll give you an example. You can go and find, let's say if you're a woman, you're a beautiful woman. Then some guy comes and greets you and says, hi, how are you? What? You know, you're fine, you're doing well. Yeah, good. Maybe a workmate in the morning. Good morning, Susan. How are you? And fine. Yeah, okay, good. Shoo, then he goes. Then the next, another guy comes and looks at you and says the same things. Eh? Hey, good morning, Susan. How are you today? What? And then you know that this, the second guy who greeted you, had even undressed you in his mind, and he has lustful thoughts, and you can see through him. And yet they have said the exact same things. Now, the other one, you know, was just an innocent morning greeting. Now, this guy has come and said the same things, but you know that his mind was different. His heart is different. His heart is full of lust and what, and so you can see these things. And now women know these things. For instance, there is no woman who will not, who you'll go and greet, and she doesn't know if, for instance, that if you have a lustful heart and your heart is full of lust, you will greet and she will know what you're thinking, and she doesn't know through mind reading. She just knows. She's seeing. So now that's how we all are. People can see your heart. I had a friend of mine who is a very careless speaker. He says anything he wants. He would go and share people and say very bad things to people, but nobody ever got angry at all. I've never seen anybody get angry at him, because I know he has a good heart. And he speaks, when he speaks something, it's not said in ill will, so people laugh. Now somebody else will come and say even something which sounds good, but everybody gets angry and everybody gets, you know, packed, and people are clenching fists and what. And then what did the guy say? He didn't say anything bad. No, we are not getting angry at what he said. We know where it came from. It came from a bad heart. Now that's what a heart is. Now I want to relate this to some of the things we are talking about today. What exactly is what's at the heart of that? Now remember, to get something, now bad things, for instance, come from the heart, or from the mind to the heart. Okay, let's say somebody, the other day I was accused of being very uncaring when I was teaching people about how to praise God in times of need. And I was telling somebody comes and says, I don't know what's wrong, my life is what, because my boyfriend has chucked me. And then I said that you're not going to die. Some lady told me, how can you say that? You don't know what it means when somebody is what? How can you say you're not going to die? Okay, I don't mean it bad, you understand? Eh? I actually don't. And it's said out of a good heart. The point is that you're actually not going to die. And if you would just say, God, this thing hurts. I really hoped that guy would be the man who would marry me. But I praise you so much, because I know you have something better for me. Or if he's the person, I know you'll bring him back. But if he's not the person, I know you'll get somebody better for me. Because, Lord, I thank you. You're the one who created this marriage thing. And I want to get married. And it is my right to get married, because you created this marriage thing. So I thank you, Father, because you are bringing the best person for me. And even if, and God sees your heart is, that you're hurting. But he knows that you've chosen to praise him above your heart, above your pain. Okay? And when you get to know how to do things this way, you will see within a short time, now the difference is, some people know how to meditate on the wrong things in there. Now the devil gets you by getting you to meditate on the wrong things. You know, how could that guy do this? How can he do this? How can he have said this about you? How can you imagine? Do you know what he said? How could he even have said this? Meanwhile, he's just trying to ruin your marriage. So he comes and tells you, how could your guy have done that? What did your man do? He did, huh? And there's a demon there, which is, remember, the devil has the right to tempt you in terms of, you know, giving you ideas. So he comes and says, how could your man have done this? He did what? He forgot your birthday, man. What kind of man is that? You know what? You know, all the, if he loved you, you'd remember your birthday. He would even have brought what? What did he bring you? If he loved you. So, and there are women who leave good relationships over the film, and they don't know that some chidimon is there messing them up. Now, the thing is, of course, if you're a man, don't forget birthdays. But don't let yourself meditate on evil things. Because when you meditate on something, you're changing your tree. For instance, if somebody comes and annoys me, and I'm so angry, and I meditate on that, I am changing my tree from good to bad. The more I meditate on it, the next thing I know, somebody who was a good guy and who was a happy person and, you know, who people like to be around, has become bitter and nobody wants to be about you and things like that. That's how so many people ruin their lives, by the way. I'll give you an example. I know of a lady who had her fair share of heartbreaks, you understand? And these things sometimes happen, okay? I pray it doesn't happen to anyone listening here, but these things sometimes happen. You go waste your time with some man, and he promises all these good things, Then he just turns around. The next thing you know, he's with somebody else. Now, it does. Are you the only person who suffers that? No. Have people recovered from that? Yes. What determines what whether they recover or not? Guard their heart. Guard your heart with all diligence, for out of it flow all the issues of life. Guard your heart with all diligence, for out of it flow all the issues of life. That is where it comes from. Now, I know this lady, she was let down one time, between Kwanjura and wedding. Let down. But I have never seen somebody who refused to be put down by something. Because the next one day she's let down, the next minute she's so happy, preparing her friends' weddings, she's a bridesmaid, she's celebrating her friends who are getting married and being happy for other people. And she was a good person, and her tree was good, and she was determined not to let her experiences change her mindset and change her tree, in other words, change her heart. So when it ends, even the person who let her down, the next day they would actually be friends. And you think she's stupid? No, she's not. She has decided she's going to guard her heart. Okay, you're let down, you take some time, do some crying if you have to, but don't spend 1 month meditating on what somebody did to you. You are changing your tree from good to bad. Now, most people will not do that. Will not do what she did. They will go and say, how could he have done this? And meanwhile, the devil is also trying to put it in you. How could he have done this? Can you imagine? What? Because he knows where that is leading you. Can you imagine if he had done now, he wasted my time. Even when we were dating, some other guy came and I chased him away because I had him. Now, if he had known he was what, I would have accepted the other guy. Now, and then you keep on grumbling and you're meditating day and night. Meditation is not something you do deliberately. It's something, in most cases, you do not deliberately. Those thoughts which you have throughout the day, when you're not even thinking about what you're thinking about, but they are just inside you. So you keep on meditating on it. Now, then you don't know that when that first guy met you, you were a nice person. You were a lovely person. You were a nice company. People loved being around you because you're a beautiful girl. And you know, beautiful in spirit, or rather in soul, and in appearance. Now, but because of what happened to you, and because you meditated on it, your tree slowly became bad from good. Now, the next guy who sees you and you're beautiful to behold, that is beautiful in appearance, then he tries to ask you out. And now this guy is good. And this guy is not like the other guy. This guy maybe loves you and what. Then he comes and asks you out, but you're still bitter from the other relationship. So after the first date, the second date, this guy realizes, this chick has issues. She's bitter. So what does he do? He also takes a detour. He vanishes. Then you say, you see, I knew these men. Men are fake. Men are what? Then you form a whole doctrine about relationships based on your two negative experiences. And then you don't want to know what the Bible has to say about it. You don't want to know what. Then you go and believe and you meditate on it. Meditate on it until you get to a level where you believe it. And you're completely convinced and persuaded that there is nothing good can come out of relationships. Men are just beasts that have to be tolerated. They are no loving men or caring men or faithful men. And you're convinced of all of that. And you go and convince. Now, because your heart has become that, and you've convinced yourself along that line, the only people you will ever attract after that will be those people who fit into what you've believed. If you've believed that all men are fake, all men are brutes, all men are unfaithful, all men are cheats and all those things, money suckers and all that, that's exactly the kind of man that you are going to get. Not because they are no good men, but because out of the heart flow all the issues of life. In other words, you can only attract to yourself what your heart has believed inside. So the next thing you know, somebody who had one bad experience, then a second bad experience, then they went and meditated on those bad experiences. Now after that, they had third, fourth, fifth bad experiences. There is no good experience. And then you say, but what's wrong with that girl? She's a good girl. She's what? But she always gets the wrong people. But you know, she has set her heart in that direction. And out of the heart flow all the issues of life. Now, then there is this other lady whom I know.
She's hurt by one man. She comes out laughing. I mean, okay, you don't think she's any different from other people. She just chooses to guard her heart. So she goes and perhaps takes a day or two and, you know, does a bit of, you know, emotional cleansing, if you will, cry and what. Then she jumps out of it. And the next thing, she's happy. Even if she meets the same guy the next day, she'll ask him, how are you and what? And other people wonder, what kind of person is this? Wasn't she what yesterday? Was she this yesterday? Now, how come she's happy yet she has reason to be, you know, unhappy? No, she has chosen to guard her heart. So she's not meditating on her misfortune. She's meditating on the good things which God has in front for her. Now, that same girl went and got married to one of the best. She got, all her friends agreed that she got the best guy for her husband. But that's not because she did not have her disappointments. She had them, and some of them were bad. But she guarded her heart. And in other words, she thought, but man, how could this guy do this for me? But anyway, okay, I'm not going to drill down that road. I'm not going to go down this pity thing. And what? Let me just be happy. So she retained herself. Now the next guy comes, he finds a good person, not a bitter person. Then maybe he's also a fake guy, so he runs away. Then another one comes, she finds her still a happy person, because she has chosen not to spoil her tree, to corrupt her tree by meditating on fake things. Then he finds her like that. What does he do? He says, now, you know, I think this is a good girl. Then it turns out this is a very good guy, and the next thing they are married, then she's happy, then she's very happy, and now she has reason to be happy. But she was happy when she did not have reason to be happy. Now, anybody can be happy when they have reason to be happy. Anybody can say they are blessed when they have millions in the bank. But the most powerful people are those who will stand up and say, I am blessed, when he has no money in his wallet, but because that's what the word of God says. When you say that and you convince yourself of that, when the money comes, you will never have any insecurities about it, because you know the basis of your faith is not what is in the bank, but what is in your heart. Your heart is convinced that you're blessed, and nothing can change that. Nobody can convince you otherwise. You're there, and that's what it is. Now let's read the scripture here from Colossians chapter 2. And I'll show. So remember, so many things go through your mind, but if they just go through your mind, then they don't have any traction. They don't change who you are. But when you let them dwell in your mind long enough for them to sink into your heart, then they will change who you are. I remember, before I read the scripture, a guy who was was in prison, okay? And a friend of mine went to prison, and the guy is on death row. He killed, I think, 7 or 9 people at Saks Pub. There's a pub near Nakasero Market called Saks Pub. And this guy went and shot people. He was a soldier. He went and shot, I think, 7 people dead on the spot. Now, he's in prison. He got born again. And so this guy went to preach to him, and, you know, and or rather to visit them in prison. And the guy said, I don't know. I really... he told him his story. And the issue was the guy did not, you know, guard his heart. He went to that place, where I think when he had just received his salary, then found some prostitute there. And then the prostitute fleeced him clean, of all his dime, and ran away from him. Basically made a fool out of him. And the next thing you know, he knows he has no money. He hasn't even gotten what he wanted from her, and so on and so forth. So the guy became angry, and he meditated on that for almost 3 months. How could that lady do that to me? How could she? So now you see, he's meditating, and what could have been a bad thing, and say, man, okay, I'm on my salary for June, but yeah, anyway. Let me wait for the next one. In the meantime, I hope I somehow survive through this month. Some people handle things like that, and they retain a good heart. Now this man meditated on how that lady messed him up, how she fleeced him, and how she did. He meditated on it over and over and over again. Now 3 months later, he went to the same pub. He gave a waiter 10,000 shillings, and I think a beer was supposed to be 4,000. I don't know. And she was supposed to bring back balance of 6,000, and she did not bring it back. This time, because the guy had meditated and was already full, his heart was already pumping with anger, the guy just got his gun and shot down 7 people dead. And the next thing he knows, he's on death row in Mozilla. The difference is he the only person whom women could and ends up? No, he's not. But other people get over it, and life continues because they don't meditate on it. It remains something that's in their experience, in their mind. But some people don't know how to meditate on the right things and how to avoid meditating on the wrong things. Even the smallest things can become big if you choose to meditate on them. Something small that your husband said yesterday can become big and cause a big rift if you choose to meditate on it. And yet you can meditate on so many other good things he has said. But see, the devil will make sure you do not meditate on the good things. He will make sure you meditate on the wrong thing. So your husband will come and say so many good things, then he will say some bad thing. Then you say, but how could he say that? What does that mean? How could you know the devil is just psyching you up to get angry. And then you say, what? How can he? But you know, if he loved me, how could he? I mean, even the other day, then you start remembering all the other bad things he said. And suddenly, you don't remember any single good thing he has said or done. The next thing you know, that marriage is on the rocks. The next thing you know, that marriage is ended. And next thing you know, somebody's life is messed up, perhaps even children. And why? Because somebody chose to meditate on the wrong things. It's just that simple. Are there any right things? Yes. Some people choose to meditate on the right things, and when they do, it creates goodness. Their heart becomes lively, and then they are ready to receive more and more good things. So it is a choice you have to make in your life. Injustices will happen, bad things will happen, bad relationships will happen, ABC will happen. Don't ever meditate on it, and they will stop. You will see how they will die slowly by slowly. And the next thing you know, because your heart is full of goodness, the only thing you attract is goodness. Remember, it says guard your heart with all diligence, because out of your heart flow all the issues of life. Because your heart is full of love, the only thing you attract is love. Because your heart is full of generosity, the only thing you attract is prosperity. Because your heart is full. All these people, the people whom you find and who switch off radios the moment somebody talks about giving, the guy switches off the radio. It's because he has, perhaps somebody went and told him to give money and he expected to receive and he didn't receive and what. So now he gets angry at the whole message. But the message is not going to change because somebody fleeced you. The message is there and it is not going to change. It is pure and simple. Now, let me go to this scripture. I just felt I needed to give that example. If I want you to know that what a great conflict I have for you, I'm reading from Colossians chapter 2, and this is Paul writing, of course, to the Colossians. I want you to know what great conflict. Now, conflict here means struggle or a deep desire, okay? I have to you and those in Laodicea, for as many as have not seen my face in the flesh. Now, these are people who knew about Paul and who had been converted by whom Paul had converted, and they were in churches, but they didn't know Paul. And because Paul had since moved on and was in a Roman prison, okay, by the time he writes this. And then they say that there, and then says that those who have not seen me in flesh, verse 2, Colossians chapter 2, verse 2 now, that their hearts may be encouraged. Their hearts, remember, we are talking about the heart, being knit together in love. Then it says, and attaining, okay, and that they may attain, or it says, and attaining to all the riches of the full assurance of understanding. It says attaining to all the riches of the full assurance of understanding. Now that's a very powerful thing, because it says attaining to the riches of the full assurance of understanding. Now what is the meaning of that? Here is what it means. It means that there is riches which come out from somebody knowing something and having the full assurance of it, and understanding exactly and precisely how it works. I'll give you an example. The same way that people meditate on bad things and then have bad experiences is the same way people can meditate and should meditate on scripture and have the reality of that scripture actualized in their life. Now, what does that mean? That means this. For instance, everybody knows in their mind that the Bible says by his stripes we are healed. You know that in your mind. But the reason you're still sick is because you've not moved that from your mind to your heart. Now, the day you meditate on that long enough for it to get from your mind to your heart, is the day sickness will never be an issue in your life. Now, you know what the Bible says about all sorts of things. You know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ for you, even if he was rich, yet for our sakes he became poor, so that we through him should be rich. Now, that's 2 Corinthians 8:9. You know what it says. You know where it is. You know what the Bible says. But you're still broke. Why is that? Because you know it in your head. You don't yet know it in your heart. If you got that scripture and you got to know it in your heart, then you would not be broke again. It's just that simple, because the word is there and God actualizes it. Now, God requires you to get the things that you know in your head to your heart, and you get them the same way that you get yourself psyched up with anger and bitterness and all those things, through meditation. You can meditate yourself into bitterness, you can meditate yourself into goodness, you can meditate yourself into believing any word. The Bible has given us all the promises, okay? The Bible says He has given us promises, precious promises. Second Peter, let me read it, that we may obtain. Listen to what it says. Grace and peace be multiplied to you. Second Peter chapter 1 verse 2. In the knowledge of God and of our Lord Jesus Christ, as His divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness, through the knowledge of Him who called us by His glory, by which we have been given an exceedingly great and precious promises, that through those promises we may be partakers of the divine nature, and having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Through those promises, that we might escape the divine. And so what God gives you is a promise. So He tells, every scripture there is a promise. So He says, God is able to make all grace abound towards you. I'm reading some scriptures here, which, I mean, you have no idea how many times I've meditated on these scriptures when I needed them. So listen to what it says here. 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 8. Chapter 9 verse 8. It says, and God is able to make all grace abound towards you, so that you, always having all sufficiency in all things, may have an abundance for every good work. Always having all sufficiency in all things, may have an abundance for every good work. Now, I told somebody that if I fail to do something and I give money as an excuse, I'm lying, because money cannot stop me from doing what I feel God wants me to do. And the person looked at me as if I'm bragging, but he doesn't know how many hours I spent meditating on this scripture. God is able to make all grace abound towards me. When I'm meditating, I don't say towards you, I say towards me. I personalize it. God is able to make all grace abound towards me, so that I, always having all sufficiency in all things, may have an abundance for every good work. Now, I meditated on that. When I had nothing, when I had lack, the only thing I ever had was lack. But I was meditating on it. And I was meditating on it and preparing my heart to believe what the Word of God says. Now, the day I get to that level, what the Bible says, the full assurance of understanding. Now, some people will hear something and it sounds good. Okay, God wants you to prosper, and you know all that, and you know God doesn't want what, you know, your needs are supplied and all that, and so my God will supply your needs and blah 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 blah, and all those things which you know in your head. But the reason you've not cashed in on that word, on that promise, Peter says He has given us promises that we might escape the corrupt nature of this world. The reason you've not cashed in on that promise, and you're still living a life which is in contradiction to the promise that God has given you, is because, one, you've not taken enough time to meditate on it. It's still in your head, it is not in your heart. It has not gone down to where it does anything. In other words, you have not attained to the riches of the attaining to all the riches of full assurance of understanding. What does that mean? When you get a scripture and you understand it and then you meditate on it, here it says in Colossians chapter 2 and verse 2, that their hearts may be encouraged, being knit together in love, and they may attain to all the riches of the full assurance of understanding. Then you get to a point where you are totally convinced, persuaded. You know what Paul said? Paul said in 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 12 that, I am persuaded. I know whom I believed, and I am persuaded that He is able to keep that which I committed to Him. I know Him. I know God. I'm not gambling. I know God. I know what He said works, and I know everything. Now, in also Romans chapter 4 and verse 11, it talks about Abraham, who was convinced, who was persuaded that he who promised was able to make it happen, even if Abraham was 100 years old. He was totally convinced. Now, the reason some people do not see the things that they want to see is they are not yet convinced. They have not attained to the riches of the full understanding, of the full assurance of understanding. So you tell them that so, and you receive. So He tries it out. He wants to try it out. He wants to believe it. But He's not convinced. He's trying it out. It's one of so many other things He's trying out. So He tries it out. Now, when it does not work, The first time, then he says, it does not work. Then he stops, then he gives up. Why did it not work? Number one, because he was gambling. And spiritual things don't work by the way, by means of gambling. They work by the means of full assurance of understanding. Until you are totally convinced, persuaded yourself of something, it is not going to work. Now, it is your work to persuade yourself. And how do you do that? Through meditation on that scripture which you want to actualize in your life. Through meditation. Until you meditate on it, think about it, the same way that you've been thinking about anger and getting bitter and what, bitterness and all that. You meditate on that thing and until it becomes an actual thing in your life. Then, the moment it becomes real in your life and you're convinced about it, you're persuaded, like Paul is, or you've attained to the riches of the full assurance of understanding. The assurance of understanding. I know this works. Now, I'll tell you that when I need anything, whatever it is, I will go and get a seed and name it that thing and so, and I will get that thing, anything. And I've lived my life like that for a number of years. Now, the difference between you and me may be, if you haven't achieved that, is because for you, you're gambling. Me, I'm not gambling. I know it works. It has worked for me. It always works. There is not a single time when it doesn't work. Now, I have attained to the fullness of, I've attained the riches of the fullness of understanding. So I am assured. When I saw, I sit back and I'm assured that it's going to work. Now that is the difference. Now if you come and you've been reading Rich Dad Poor Dad, you've been doing that, you've been reading all those self-help books of new age people who don't even want you to get rich. I don't know what makes you think that there are people out there who want you to get rich, and so they are giving you knowledge to make you get rich. No. By buying their books, you are making them rich. And I'm telling you, you will be broke. The only people who is getting rich out of this self-help people are the people who are already rich. That self-help industry is full of crap. Now, let me tell you, I went through it. I went through my period of trying to do this, how to get rich, of how to do this. I read all those things. I read all that material. And I ended up with a head full of knowledge, which does not work, which did not help me at all. Then when I realize that does not work, the good thing with going through all that is you know it does not work. Then I closed that completely. I closed it out completely. Then I said, now let me go and believe the Bible. So I believed that God is able to make all grace abound towards me, so that I always at all times, having all sufficiency, may have an abundance for every good work. What does that mean? Every time I want something, I have enough money sufficient for it, but not just for it, I have even excess. So if I wanted to go and eat good food, not only do I have enough money to pay, I have enough money to give a tip to the waiter or waitress, which is big enough for them to even go and buy another meal of the similar kind. In other words, the money is always there. Now, all sufficient, and not just enough, I don't move in enough, I move in abundance. So, now, I meditated on it when I didn't, all those self-help things had not worked, about do this, about wake up, about all those things, nothing had worked. So I said, now I'm going to believe what the Word of God says. So I went and assured myself of all this. This is what works. This is the only way it is going to work. It is going to work like this. So I meditated on those scriptures until they went to my heart. Now, when they went to my heart, slowly by slowly, my financial situation began changing, turning around for good, because I was no longer now believing them just in my mind, but in my heart. So slowly my financial situation started changing, and slowly I got on the highway, and now I am on the highway to big time prosperity, and nothing can stop me, by the way. Absolutely nothing can, because I have the full assurance of understanding. When you understand something and you're not gambling, you should understand, okay, this is how it works. This is how God intended it. This is what God wants. Now I understand. Now I am assured. Now I am confident. There is nothing that can shake my belief in it. When you get to that, then you've attained to those riches. The riches only are to those who have attained to that level of assurance. Then it says in verse 3, to the knowledge of God, to the knowledge of the mystery of God, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Now that's amazing. Treasures of riches and knowledge, not treasures of silver and gold, not treasures of dollars and pounds. No, God does not have dollars and pounds. He does not. He has wisdom and knowledge. That wisdom and knowledge produces dollars and pounds and gold and silver. I mean, God is beyond dollars and all those things. Those are for you. For him is above that. You understand? But he gives a knowledge, a wisdom, and all that. Wisdom can involve what to do, where to do, where to go, favor, you know, an opening here, you know, a business idea, and all those things. And all those things can produce the things you want. But for him, he holds the wisdom and the knowledge. How do I get this to happen? How do I get this to happen? Then God will tell you, do this, talk to so and so. This is going to happen. This is going to what? And that's where his riches are, in the mystery, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Colossians 2:3. Not of silver and gold, not of pounds and dollars and shillings and whatever. Anyhow, now that's a matter for another day. Now I'm going to tell you this. Now, your biggest challenge is to convince your heart through continuous meditation in accordance to one scripture which you want to see, one promise in the Bible which you want to see actualized in your life. If you went to a doctor and he told you, for instance, that you have cancer, then the most important thing for you at that moment is not God is able to provide or whatever and all those things. No. The most important scripture for you at that time is, by his stripes I was healed, because you want healing. Now that's what's important to you. Now go and get that scripture. Now here is the key. If you want to really, now I'm giving you how to do this. If you speak in tongues while repeating that scripture. For instance, if healing is what you want, here is what you're going to do. When you're praying in your time of prayer, especially if you're speaking in tongues, you'll, for instance, say, Shaka brazan tarabashi, by his stripes I'm healed. Rikara brazon toroboshi, by his stripes I'm healed. Rabobosi. Now, that way, you are getting what you know in your head slowly by. So it can take 1 day, 2 days, 3 days, 1 month. It will not take 1 day, I can guarantee you that. Unless, of course, you've prepared your heart already in this area of faith where it is easy for you to believe these things. But if you've been in another, whatever, it might take you a while. But do that, do it. After some time, you'll wake up and your heart is completely convinced that Jesus' stripes were enough to get you healed of whatever sickness. The next thing you'll know, you'll go and they'll test you and there is no cancer or whatever it is you're suffering from. But you have to get the promise away from your head where you know it. Of course, everybody knows 1 Peter 2:24, by whose stripes you are healed, you know where it is. But it's your responsibility to get it from there to the heart. Now, it is the devil's responsibility to convince you that it does not work. So, because he doesn't want you to get to that full assurance of understanding. What does that mean? Compare this to a case in court. If somebody went and accused me of murder, and the prosecutor comes and says that Mr. Kableta was guilty of murdering this person. Now, it is their responsibility to prove that I actually committed the act of murder. They have to prove that I was there at that time, that I had a weapon of the nature that was used, that they found blood on my hands or blood on my gloves or whatever it is, and all those things. They are the ones who are supposed to convince the judge, or let's say the jury. Now the defense don't have to convince anything. They just have to show, they just have to puncture the prosecution's evidence. So if the prosecution says that no, we actually know that he murdered because he was around that vicinity at that time, the only thing the defense has to do is to prove that I wasn't there. They don't have to prove where I was, they just have to prove I wasn't there. So they just have to prove, in other words, they just have to spoil whatever evidence. Their work is spoiling. They spoil whatever evidence the prosecution is putting up. So when the prosecution puts up this evidence, they come and spoil it. They spoil it. That's why when I'm acquitted, they don't say somebody is innocent. They say he's not guilty. In other words, he might not be innocent, but he's not guilty. They have spoiled whatever evidence. Now, here is how it works with you and, you know, this thing. If you read a scripture that says that God has blessed you with every spiritual blessing, and you know you're blessed and all those things, and the evidence of your life is that you're always broke, okay, so you're not seeing the blessing. Now that does not mean the scripture is wrong. No. Now it is your work to convince yourself. You are like the prosecution in this case. It is your work to convince yourself that this thing works. So in other words, in this case, you are the judge or the jury, but you're also the prosecutor. So you have to, your mind is the is the prosecution, and your heart is the judge or jury. So you have to convince your heart from your mind that the word of God is true, that you are actually blessed, and what. So if you convince them, then that thing will become an actuality in your life, and you start living like that. However, the work of the devil is to just spoil. Now, here is how he spoils. I'll give you an example. If you're trying to believe God for let's say healing from cancer, you just wait. You try it one. You see, or for many other sickness, let's say. The minute you start trying to believe God, somebody will call you and tell you somebody who died of cancer. Hey, munange, gundi yafude. What did he die of? Cancer. Now the devil is trying to create all the evidence to spoil what you're trying to believe, because you're trying to believe that you're going to be healed. So the devil will use people to try and give you all bad scenarios of who died, so and so has just died of cancer. And now, before you were trying to believe, you did not know all these people who were dying of cancer. But the minute you set your heart to try and believe, then the devil tries to be a defense attorney. He tries to spoil whatever evidence you have. Now, you're trying to believe, then you say, how come so-and-so was a pastor and for him he died of sickness? How come what? Then he will give you examples of people who've tried and failed. He will give you examples of failure. Now, that's how it works. Yet, actually, when you were reading, for instance, if I tell you how you can prosper through by sowing seed and what by through the full assurance of understanding, then the devil will come and tell you, but yeah, if it was like that, how come so-and-so is broke? Now, yet when you are reading the books of those rich Americans and whatever, and Britons and what, about how to get rich, you never actually ever considered when you are believing their rubbish, you never considered the evidence. But do you know how many people have read those books and are still broke? Millions. But the devil will never tell you that, because he wants you to stay there. The minute you want to put your focus on the word of God, then he comes up and starts jumping. No, how come what? How come these ones are broke? You mean everybody is supposed to be rich? You mean what? Those people are just trying to steal your money. Blah, 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 blah. And all those. And then for him, it's just spoiling. He's a defense attorney. He just has to spoil the evidence. Now for you, you are the prosecution. You have to convince yourself, your heart, by continuously meditating on it and blocking out every other rubbish that comes from the devil and saying the word of God is always true. Now, I know people who have prospered. Now I'll give you this testimony as I end. This guy who had, he was born again, his parents, himself, all became broke, until he left the city and went up country and settled down. And but even there, everything was so, you know, in total destitute. By the way, when the devil gets so, he can hammer you until you lose all hope of everything. Now, this gentleman was in the village, and they were telling me this testimony last Friday at the night prayer. This gentleman was down there completely in destitution and having no hope whatsoever. Then one day he was listening to spirit. Thankfully, his village is not far from Kampala, so he can get the signals for this radio. So he listened to it live, or somebody sent him the messages of sowing and reaping. So he listened to those messages and he said, "Hey, this is different from the usual giving. They talk about of Lemulete Center. We need money for this. We fundraising. What, you know me? I will never say we are fundraising. Never. It will never come out of my mouth. If I do it, I will correct it immediately. I get my money from God. God might use whoever he wants to use, but I do not try to impress any person or any nothing. Me, I have the full assurance of understanding that it is God who makes it happen. And that one I know it 100%. I don't try to impress anybody that now if I do this, nothing whatsoever." So this guy said, "But this guy is different. What?" So he says, no, I'm going to try again. So the minute you decide to try something from the word of God, the Holy Spirit is there to encourage you, to enlighten you, because he's a father, and he's saying, "Yeah, my son, you can make it. You don't have to end like this. Something good is going to happen in your life." So he decided to come back into the city, managed to get a few things happening here, but of course in a level of destitution. Then he got his first seed, then sowed it, then got the next thing, he was hiring his own house, okay, Mozico and all, looking for a job. The next thing, he got a job. The next thing, he got a better job. In a matter of 6 months, somebody who was completely wasted and who had given up is now, you know, excited about the things ahead and about the prospects and what. And all that changes when you get a word and receive it. Now, of course you can let the devil convince you, but how come so and so did not work? How come so and so did not work? But the things you used to believe in before. For instance, when somebody believes for healing, the devil will come and say, no. But you see also, you have to cut down on your carbohydrates, you have to cut down on your sugars, you have to stop taking this, you have to stop taking this. But how come there are people who don't take any of those things and yet they are sick? So somebody, the devil comes and tells you, no. Okay, you can't just be there believing in divine healing, because you also have to watch your diet. But there are people who watch their diet 100%, but they are sick. They are sick. You think the people in Jesus' time whom he was healing were people who were eating fats and fat and carbohydrates? No. They were eating a very healthy diet, but they were sick. That's why they needed Jesus to heal them. So he will come and try to replace what you're trying to believe with something natural. Okay? Now, I'll tell you next time how the devil steals what belongs to you, and the means by which he uses to steal you from this concrete word, steal you from getting to that full assurance of understanding. Because when you get to the full assurance of understanding, now that guy, having seen what sowing and giving has done for him, and how he has come out from the doldrums, and is on the pathway to something good, he has the full assurance of understanding. You cannot convince him that sowing does not work. You can't. You cannot. He has seen it work in his life. That's what God wants, where you have a testimony where you know you're not gambling. Even when the devil comes and tells you, but why you give you, you tell him, shut up. You're talking crap. Get lost. I don't want to hear what you have to say. Because you know otherwise. Now, there are people who are still trying to convince themselves, whom the devil can confuse their minds, but you are not one of them. At least if you are, go and try to meditate on those things until you get to that full assurance of understanding. Now I have to end here because my time is up, but just a few things here to remind you. If you want a recording of all these messages, I'll continue from this by the next time and tell you the different means by which the devil steals what belongs to you. And it's a very powerful thing. Make sure you listen to the program next week, because you have to understand these things. But first of all, if you want a recording of the programs, go to our website, watchman.co.ug, www.watchman.co.ug, and we will put them. They might not be current, up to date, but we will keep on updating them. But all the old ones about the end time and all those things are there. So I don't want people asking me what sort of agreement. Somebody sent me a message. Somebody called, okay, I will not say his name, but what kind of agreement will the Antichrist make with Israel? And I said I'm not going to waste my time typing that, because those things, those lessons are out there, all those things out there. You just have, but because you're lazy, you want me to, now somebody else, then I'm not going to do that, Eric, I'm not. So you go and listen to the old messages if you want to know. That's why I didn't answer your email. Then, if you want to, of course, we have night prayers. Tomorrow Thursday, in the evening at 6 p.m. we have a partners meeting. So if you're a partner with this ministry, come for our partners meeting tomorrow at the Sheraton Lion Center, Sheraton Hotel Lion Center. The last time we had a partners meeting, we took it somewhere and people got lost, but now nobody doesn't know where the Sheraton is in Kampala. So come to the Sheraton Hotel tomorrow. We are discussing some of the directions that the ministry is going. Don't forget that tomorrow, Thursday 31st, and you can send your contact us here. If you want to sow a seed or make an appointment to meet myself or any of those things, you can use these numbers below. The numbers for mobile money for both Airtel and MTN are as follows. MTN is 0780-292-555. I'll say it again, 0780-292-555. Airtel is 0755-292-555. 0755. 292-555. MTN is 0780-292-555. So use those numbers if you want to sow a seed, and if you want to continue sowing into what the Lord is doing in this, through this ministry. And if you want to contact us, or you can use the email address ugandanwatchman@gmail.com, ugandanwatchman@gmail.com. Don't forget our Friday night prayers. We have them every Friday starting at 10 p.m. at Wumasho Grounds, Madivani Hall. Thank you so much for joining the Watchman. I do hope you've been blessed. Don't miss next week's program, because we have something interesting to add on to what we have been talking here today. Good night and God bless you. Behold, he comes.
Do you want to see how Bible prophecy fits perfectly into contemporary news? What's this business about the Antichrist and the mark of the beast? Who is the Antichrist? Be him alive? How shall the number 666 be introduced in commerce? The Watchman dissects fascinating insights into the end times and Bible prophecy. Make a date with The Watchman every Wednesday, 9 to 10 p.m. only on Spirit FM 96.6. Tune in and stay on